Father, we pray this morning that you will reveal more about the nature of prayer to us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please sit. It amazes me how the lectionary throws up readings to challenge, and this week is no different. I thought, why do I really have to preach on something that I am not at all good at? Prayer. Now, I'm going to mention both of our readings this morning. We'll start off with the incident at Jabbok's Ford in our Old Testament reading. And that particular time was a turning point in Jacob's life, for it was a time where Jacob drew aside to spend time alone with God. He persevered and sought God's blessing in his life. And our challenge today is, are we as hungry for God's blessing as Jacob was? Perhaps it's reminding ourselves about, firstly, who Jacob actually was. He was a grandson of Abraham, and he was the son of Isaac. But he didn't have their endearing qualities. Jacob would be what you would perhaps call today a rascal. There's one commentator who has said about him, Jacob was the kind of person that could enter a revolving door behind you, but come out ahead of you. Jacob cheated his brother, he conned his father, and he also conned his brother, and he swindled his father-in-law. What he did wasn't exactly illegal, but it wasn't exactly morally right either. Why? Because Jacob was only interested in Jacob and what he could get out of it. And as I mentioned, during the reading, Jacob comes to a turning point in his life. He meets God face to face. And it's fitting that the stream where this all happened is called Jabbok, and that actually means pouring out or emptying. And we see a pouring out of himself before God. So how did Jacob find himself at Jacob's Ford? Well, he was on his way home, having slaved away for nearly 20 years for his uncle Laban. And now he was on the run from his uncle and his uncle's sons. And but for the intervention of God, Jacob would have been killed when they caught up with him. But as it was, they parted amicably. And now he was on his way home, back to his father Isaac. Jacob was at last going home after 20 years. Crossing the river meant crossing into his brother Esau's territory. And it was the same brother Esau from whom he had run 20 or so years previously. He didn't know if Esau still bore him a grudge for stealing the blessing and the birthright from him. So he sent gifts across the river ahead of him, just in case. He sent his servants with gifts of 200 female goats, 20 male goats, 200 female sheep, and 20 rams, 30 female camels and their young, 40 cows, 10 bulls, 20 female donkeys, and 10 male donkeys. That was some gift. And as Jacob was making these preparations, he said to himself, I will pacify him with these gifts I am sending on ahead. And later when I see him, perhaps he will receive me. That information is all from earlier in Genesis. So later that night, he sends his wives and his children and all his possessions across the river. And when that was done, we find Jacob alone on the other side of the stream. He has done all that he can think to do, and now he comes to pray. But God answers his prayer rather unexpectedly with a wrestling match. Have you ever noticed that God doesn't really always answer our prayers in the way that we really expect him to? And I wonder how it was that night, all alone at Jacob's Ford. Did Jacob see a shadowy figure sneaking up behind him? Did he wonder who it was? Did he think it might be his brother Esau? Could it be a local thief or bandit? As far as Jacob was concerned, it didn't matter. And the desperate fight was on, and it took all of Jacob's energy. But then disaster struck. We read that God, in human form, with whom Jacob had been wrestling, touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that it was dislocated as he wrestled with the man. His encounter with God changed him forever, and he was left with a limp as a reminder and also a new name, Israel. He was no longer the selfish Jacob, but the godly Israel emerged. I wonder how I would have reacted if God had struck my hip in the same way. Jacob could have been bitter with God for damaging his hip, but Jacob is now more interested in getting God's blessing than moaning about his personal loss. So what can we learn from this incident? Well, we need time to find time to draw aside with God. Jacob's blessing came about because he drew aside from the bustle of life to take time with God. And if we want to hear the voice of God speaking to us, we need a time of quiet to pray and to read God's word. Secondly, if you mean business with God, don't be surprised if God means business with you. Being a Christian can be exciting. God calls those who are willing to be his disciples to do the most extraordinary things. And thirdly, Jacob wouldn't give up until he had got God's blessing. Jacob had a one-tracked mind, and he pursued his goal ruthlessly. Things must have looked bleak for Jacob. He was tired from wrestling, and his hip ached. But he was so single-minded that he clung to God until he got God's blessing. And all through Jacob's life, he wanted the things of God. Unlike his older brother Esau, he enjoyed hunting and the good life. He was only interested in living life to the full. He didn't value the things of God. Jacob, on the other hand, was what many would call today as religious, because he wanted the things of God, but set out to get them in his own strength. He wanted the birthright due to the eldest son, and he tricked Esau into giving it to him. He wanted his father's blessing, again due to the eldest son, and he tricked Isaac into giving it to him. Jacob was a scoundrel, but what endeared him to God was that he was hungry for God's blessing in his life. Are we as hungry as Jacob was for God's blessing and his approval in what we are doing in our lives? Because that is what the incident of Jacob's Ford is all about. Now, moving on to the gospel reading, we are called to be persistent in prayer. And using the parable of the unjust judge is to encourage us to stick at prayer. We should pray so we don't lose heart, because prayer is very precious to God. And again, there's another three challenges from this passage for me, and that is God is looking for people who are persistent in prayer. He's looking for people to be changed through prayer, and he's looking for people who have got time to be with him. So God is looking for people who are persistent in prayer. And the Jews in Jesus' day, they limited prayer to 3 times a day so that they wouldn't wear God out by their pestering. But Jesus taught quite the opposite. God is glad when we pray. And the real danger is that we ourselves will wear out, and that we will run out of energy And if we do that, we'll then give up praying. And it's worth noting that the woman came to the judge because she expected to win. And eventually, because she had this faith in receiving a fair judgment from the judge. Eventually. There may be some of us here today who, like me, find prayer very hard. And the reason we don't seem to get anywhere may be because our motivation is suspect. So I'd like to ask the question to each and every one of us. When I or you pray, why do I or you pray? Do we see prayer as some sort of divine insurance policy? Is prayer something we do to appease an angry God? Or do we see it simply as a religious duty? Like cleaning our teeth in the morning, somehow it's good for us. Or do we pray because we think it makes us better people? Somehow people think prayer somehow makes us better people. And the second challenge is that God is looking for people to be changed through prayer. What is real prayer? Prayer is a turning of a person to God. As it says in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal their land. If we don't repent of our wrong ways and come in a humble attitude, we can forget to pray. And that's why we always start our services with a prayer of confession. It's when a man or a woman repents that God can really use them. Now, a story for you that in the 18th century, John Newton, he was a slave trader, and he would swear, he cursed, he sold slaves. He nearly lost his life in a storm, and it was in that storm that he found God. He renounced his evil ways and eventually became a vicar in the Anglican Church. He helped William Wilberforce in outlawing slavery in the British Empire. He was one of the leading men in the evangelical revival in England. And you all know him as the author of the famous hymn, Amazing Grace. So no one is too bad for the grace of God if he repents. The third challenge is that God is looking for people who have got time for him. Prayer is communication. It's communication between God and between us. Just like a man talks to his friends or a child talks to his mum and dad. Conversation, it needs to be two-way. And we need time for private prayer with God. We may remember that in St. Matthew's Gospel, there was, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you that they have their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to the Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Jesus, after intense ministry, used to go away even from his closest disciples to pray quietly. And in St. Mark, he records the following in the life of Jesus. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. If Jesus needed time alone with God, don't we even more? We need to listen to the voice of God. As it says in the Psalms, "Be still and know that I am God." And in the hustle and bustle of life, we need to slow down. We need to draw aside and spend time with our Heavenly Father. And what a privilege it is to call God Dad, because that is what the meaning of Abba is. So in conclusion, three challenges from the parable in the Gospel reading. And they are: God is looking for people who have persistent prayers. He's looking for people who have to be changed through prayer. And he is looking for people who have time for him. Are we prepared to be men and women of God who will fit this bill? Amen.